The reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, beginning at verse 15. Slaves to righteousness. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Sheila, thanks very much for reading for us. Let me add my welcome to Johnny. I'm the other Johnny. It's lovely to see you here this morning. I'm one of the clergy here. Let me just start our time this morning looking at Romans 6 by just giving us a heads up, because in the passage just read, we heard a lot about slavery. It came up a lot, and as we read, I just want to say that it is not referring to the slave trade when we read the word slavery. I recognize the language of slavery to many of us might be very disturbing and horrifying to us all, and I don't want to minimize how disturbing and horrifying it is. But as we read slavery here, as the Bible talks about slavery, it isn't condoning slavery, it isn't minimizing slavery, but it's talking of something very different to the slave trade. The picture of slavery was well known in Roman culture at that time. If you weren't an aristocrat, you were a slave, and it looked very, very different to the slave trade. The picture of slavery we have this morning is a picture of the Christian story, and that's what we're going to find out this morning. But before we do that, let me pray. Father in heaven, we praise you for those wonderful words that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would love that news more, love the Lord Jesus more, and be excited for our eternal life more because of time now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, on the screen, there should be a picture of the happy couple. There they are, Erica and I, a little grainy, but 7 years ago now, seven-ish years ago, we're still the happy couple, and that's where Erica and I tied the knot just over in Hampstead. And it was a lovely party. There was great food, lovely family, loads of friends. It was a really happy, happy day, the happiest of days. But central to that, our wedding, was the service. The service was right at the heart of everything we did. And in the service, husband and wife make vows to each other. And they're pretty massive vows that are made, aren't they? So there is a photo. I think it is as I've got Erica's ring in my hand and I'm trying to get it on the finger. And this is what I said to her as I did that. I give you this ring as a sign of our marriage. With my body, I honor you. All that I am, I give to you. And all that I have, I share with you. Within the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Massive promises that I made, that bride and groom make to each other. And this morning, we're going to see that all that I am, I give to you promise isn't just a promise between a human bride and groom, but it is a promise that we, as the church, are encouraged to make to Christ, our bridegroom. All that I am, I give to you. We're encouraged to offer ourselves to God, to pray that all that I am, I give to you, Lord. So let's see that. Because our passage opens with a question fairly familiar, like last week, but this time it's got a bit of a Jewish twist to it. Have a look at chapter 6 and verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? See, without the Old Testament law to curb sin, to restrain it, won't grace just, again, encourage bad people to do bad things? And the answer, again, is an emphatic by no means. No way will it do that. Instead, people sin because of who they're offering themselves to. Which master they obey, or which slavery they are in. And today, we're going to have a look at the believer's slavery story. But before we do that, let's just get our bearings with the sort of biblical description of slavery. And it's there in verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey. So slavery is about all of humanity obeying a master. All of humanity obeying a master. Because inherent in this sort of slavery image that we're given is this sort of total, exclusive obedience to someone. A slave obeys their master. And so when we look at who we obey, who we offer ourselves to, who we're enslaved to, that will show us who our master is, who we're a slave to. It's like a litmus test. Cast your mind back to school science, chemistry lessons. You had a little solution, maybe with a little pipette or something, and you put it on that little paper called some litmus paper. And if it was acid, it would turn one colour. If it was alkaline, it would turn the other colour. Yeah, the colour it turned showed us what the solution was. And obedience is the litmus test of our slavery. It shows us who our master is. And verse 16 continues. Whether you're a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And so our slaveries, they're pretty clear here, aren't they? There's two slaveries on offer. And it's just the same as what Jesus said. No one can serve two masters. Either they'll hate the one or love the other. Two slaveries, sin or obedience. So all humanity are in slavery to one of these two masters. Because there's no sort of World War II spiritual Switzerland going on here. There's no neutral position, no middle ground that anyone in humanity can claim as theirs. Instead, the question that everyone faces is, who am I offering myself to? Who is my master? Who am I enslaved to? So everyone says, all that I am, I give to you. And the question is, but to whom? All that I am, I give to you. But to who? So that's just a little sort of getting our bearings with slavery here. And now let's dive into the believer's slavery story. And it's a story that starts off with what the believers used to be. Verse 17, you used to be slaves to sin. We used to be slaves to sin. So believers, we've seen this the last few weeks. Believers used to be shackled, chained to sin's power. It was the master that ruled and reigned over our lives. You might like to think of it like this eagle behind me. There's an eagle, and it's sort of tied, it's tethered to that post. Can you see the little sort of anklet on it, a little chain around it, and then there's the rope that's hanging down off its little foot? That rope, it's tethering itself, tethering the eagle to the post. It's keeping it there. It can't fly away. It flies, and all it can do is fly round and round that post or just sit on the post. It can't get any further. It's chained. It's shackled to that post. The post exercises this kind of rule and power over the eagle. It can't fly away. And that sort of image of the eagle being chained, tethered to that post, it's a sad image, isn't it? It's not as it should be. But without Christ, humanity is just like that eagle, enslaved to sin, unable to escape, only offering themselves wholeheartedly to this slavery, to sin. And this slavery only leads to sinful actions. Verse 19, to an impure lifestyle, to wicked deeds, and more of the same. And this slavery offers a horrible freedom. A freedom from righteousness, verse 20. It's impossible to please God in this slavery. And this slavery breeds only shame, verse 21. That's its benefit. The benefit is kind of its fruit. Its fruit leads only to shame. And this slavery terribly ends, verse 21, in death. The consequence for sin is an eternal and a final death, a separation from God forever. It is unimaginably sad to be in this slavery to sin. And that is the slavery the believer used to be in. But if you're not a believer sitting here this morning, then as sad as it is to say, we must say it, that this is the slavery that you are in that describes you. Because there is no spiritual Switzerland. There is no, I just live for me and my autonomous self. Because serving ourselves, being curved in on ourselves, is the essence of sin. See, anything other than serving God is sin. And so, serving myself, well, that does put me in this slavery. So to you, please consider, who are you offering yourself to? Who are you a slave to? All that I am, I give to you, but to who? So the believer's slavery story. It started off, we used to be slaves to sin, but verse 18, we have been set free. We have been set free. Verse 18, we have been set free. Right, so Paul, sort of, as he's explaining this story, he just stops in his tracks. He erupts in praise because of it. He can't contain himself. This joy just, it overflows. Verse 17, thanks be to God that those realities of sin slavery, what we used to be, well, it's no longer true for the believer. And Paul's so excited by that. Instead, God has set you free, liberated us from sin's power, from its slavery. The chains broken, the shackles released. Shall we go back to the eagle? It's as if someone has come over to the post and the eagle there, tethered to it, and cut the rope. The eagle's no longer tethered and bound to that post, to its power, to its influence, and it's free, set free. And it is God who has done that for us. Do you remember Jesus' story? Becomes our story. Jesus defeated, he obliterated sin, and so we've died to its power too. That's last week. And so we have been set free. And there was a moment that transfer happened. There was a moment that shift happened, whether conscious of it or not. There was a shift in masters, a shift in slaveries. And God did it. And we came to obey. We responded, verse 17, with sort of wholehearted obedience. Now, you need to cast your minds back to the beginning of September. Chapter 1, it talked there of the obedience of faith. And that's what this obedience is referring to. The obedience of faith, where our trust in Christ and living out an obedient life in response are sort of a one. They're one and the same thing. They're inseparable. The obedience of faith. You see, we've responded to what God has done. He's set us free with this obedience of faith, trusting Christ and living his way. We have been set free. Paul erupts in praise. Let's erupt in praise for that truth. We used to be slaves to sin, but we have been set free. Verse 18, to be slaves to righteousness. To be slaves to righteousness. We are now, as believers, slaves to righteousness. But I'm not sure how that sits with you. Maybe you are happy so far, sort of nodding along. I was a slave and I've been set free. Happy days, yes. Praise the Lord. But slaves again? Surely that's not right. Surely something's gone wrong. Well, I think if you might be feeling that, as I felt as I was looking at this during the week, Paul says, verse 19, that slavery, that image, it's limited. It's a sort of metaphor, but it's got an end, because in our minds we have this sort of image of slavery, but our slavery to God is so different to that, to what might be in our minds, because our slavery to God is so good. It is wonderful because God is so good. You see, he is for us and not against us. He is so forgiving, and he's so kind, and he's so gentle a master. Shall we go back to the eagle? Oh, look at it. There it is. You see, it's as if someone has gone over to that post, as I said, cut that rope, and now holds on to the bottom of it. And this good, loving master takes this rope with the eagle and takes it out into the skies, into those mountains, and lets it soar and guides it into wonderful and beautiful places for this eagle to fly and enjoy. The master is good and is loving. It takes it away from that post and into beautiful places for the eagle to enjoy good places for the eagle to live. And our slavery to God is a little similar. We are now in a liberating slavery. God has freed us from sin's power. And now God guides us into a new life. So we are now enslaved to righteousness, to live God's way, to please God, to live rightly in his sight. It is a wonderful slavery. It's a slavery we all want. It's a slavery we were created for. It is, in essence, to be fully human, to have God as our master. Now, there won't be perfection, but there will be progress. Because we're on a different trajectory, if you like. We're on a trajectory away from sin and towards righteousness, or as we'll see, holiness, living God's way. Lastly, with the eagle. See, how ridiculous would it be for the eagle? The rope cut, the master leading him up into the Alps and wonderful sky, for actually the eagle to fly back to that post. Maybe to perch back on that post, or just fly around and around and around that post that once enslaved it. It'd be ridiculous. Instead, the eagle enjoys the Alps and the skies, doesn't he? He doesn't return to that old slavery. And the same for us. We are those who are flying away from sin and towards holiness. Because that's the fruit of our slavery. Verse 22, the benefit, or we could say the fruit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. The fruit is holiness. You see, holiness is not a static thing. It's dynamic and active, and it's really practical. It's a growing in godliness, in a life that progressively pleases God. It's maturing in a Christ-likeness, becoming more and more like Jesus every day. And the wonderful result of this slavery isn't death. It is eternal life. That's the gift that we were singing of with our children earlier in the service, that gift of eternal life, where we will perfectly be with Christ and like Christ, enjoying Christ forever. That is our slavery to righteousness, our slavery to God. It is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's what we were made to be. We used to be a slave to sin. We've been set free to be slaves to righteousness. That is the believer's slavery story. But the question is, will we now offer ourselves to God? Will we now say, all that I am, I give to you, Lord? Because that is the goal. Verse 19, So now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. So now. See, it's an encouragement to us all to practically offer our whole selves. Do you remember last week, the head, heart, hands that we spoke of? It's the same thing. All our faculties, our whole capacities, our mind, our spirit, our heart, our strength, in single-minded devotion to the Lord. It's a full commitment to God, to a life that pleases him, to righteousness, offering ourselves to God, leading to holiness. And I think it's an encouragement that we need to keep hearing. We need to keep being reminded of that, to live a life pleasing to God. We need to keep encouraging each other to live this way, don't we? To offer ourselves. So let's do that after the service, during the week. Let's encourage each other to be living to please our Lord together. There'll be some here who really are doing that, but they might not see it or be aware of it. So let's encourage them with that where we see it. All that I am, I give to you. But if you're sitting here and you're thinking, all that I am, I give to you, Johnny, it just sounds a bit intense, a bit full on, a little bit sort of all in on the poker table. That sort of all in living for God, isn't that just for the keen ones? It's not quite for me. Can't I just sort of come and go as I please, sort of take it and leave it when it suits me? Isn't this sort of all in for the keen ones? Maybe for a few of you sitting here, but not for all of us. Well, I don't know, as you've seen, this slavery story, these two slaveries on offer, it doesn't look like there's some sort of middle ground. There are two slaveries with two kinds of fruit and two destinies. It looks fairly black or white. There's no sort of middle ground. It is for all believers to be all in for God. We're to practically be offering ourselves to God wholeheartedly. But for all of us, how's this going to play out in church family life? Where's this going to sort of, where's the rub for our day today as we gather together? As we do our lives together. Now, I wonder whether one danger for us might be that our knowledge doesn't lead to action, that our holiness remains theoretical. I've sort of felt that this week as I've been looking. I wonder whether our holiness is theoretical and then not practical in the details of our lives. We know we're slaves to God, but does that lead us to holiness? Does it lead us to wanting to be more and more like Jesus together? In the grittiness, in the details of our lives, with one another, does what we know intellectually make a difference practically? See, I don't think it's enough for someone here to preach the gospel of grace. We need to see the gospel of grace in action in our lives together as well. So maybe we can't just know grace, but we also need to show grace. See, we're encouraged here to offer ourselves to God wholeheartedly, practically. And what about in our church family? What could that positively look like for us? Well, I think it might be mercy, not just being preached, but practiced towards one another during the week in real granular ways. We'll be looking for reconciliation with one another, rather than just avoiding or ignoring some of those difficult relationships in the church family. We'll be focusing on how we could forgive one another, how we can build bridges with each other where there has been hurt, rather than just focusing on me and how it's hurting me. And we'll be quick to repent, to say sorry for our actions, rather than sort of growing in a pride that says, no, I never did anything wrong in that situation. We'll be trying to understand the changes that might happen in a church, rather than just complaining about my preferences. We'll be offering ourselves in service rather than vocalizing why things don't suit me so much anymore. Because those will just be some small ways in which, as a church, we will be growing in offering ourselves to God. And now, that might be your experience of church family here. I know for me and my family, that is what we've been experiencing here, a church family offering themselves to God. And so let's encourage each other where we see that. But if it's not, why not consider a way in which we could be moving towards holiness, moving towards offering ourselves wholeheartedly to God? And so that as a church family, as one, we can gather together on a Sunday throughout the week in smaller groups, and we can say to one another, "All that I am, I give to you, Lord." And we can be growing in that together as a church family. And so that we can be singing these words that we're going to sing in a moment. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. That's what we want. That is an offering our lives wholeheartedly to God. Let me pray, and then we'll respond by singing those words. Father in heaven, we pray very much that you would be growing us to be those that look more like Jesus, that offer ourselves wholeheartedly to you in the great comfort and knowledge that we are slaves of you. Thank you so much for what you've brought us out of, that slavery to sin. Thank you for freeing us, and thank you for being that loving master that guides us in good places. We pray as a church family you would help us grow in this full-on offering ourselves to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.